Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, the Republican presidential race got a little more interesting over the last few days as John Huntsman, the former Utah governor and former Obama ambassador to China, dared to call the rising star of the race, Texas Governor Rick Perry, extreme.
Right now, this country is crying out for a sensible middle ground. This is a center-right country. I am a center-right candidate. Right now, we've got people on the fringes. President Obama is too far to the left. We've got people on the Republican side who are too far to the right. And we have zero substance. We have no good ideas that are being circulated or talked about that will allow this country to get back on its feet economically so that we can begin creating jobs.
That from ABC This Week yesterday. We'll hear him more specifically call Perry too far to the right. Rick Perry, as you may know, has suggested that, for example, Ben Bernanke is guilty of treason for his Federal Reserve policies, not just doing the wrong thing, but possibly treasonous. And he wrote in his book, Fed Up, that Social Security is like a bad disease and unconstitutional. So Rick Perry thinks Social Security is unconstitutional and thinks Ben Bernanke is potentially guilty of treason.
I don't know what y'all would do to them in Iowa, but we would treat them pretty ugly down in Texas. I mean, printing more money to play politics at this particular time in American history is almost treacherous or treasonous, in my opinion. Because all it's going to be doing, we've already tried this, all it's going to be doing is devaluing the dollar in your pocket.
All right. He said almost treasonous, to be perfectly precise about it. But here is Huntsman referring specifically to that on ABC yesterday.
I'm not sure that the average voter out there is going to hear that treasonous remark and say, that sounds like a presidential candidate. That sounds like someone who is serious on the issues. But it gets to a broader point of, you know, the fact that, you know, we've had so much hope and hype in politics the last little while. We found ourselves at the extreme ends of the political spectrum, and people are crying out for us to get back to some level of sensibility.
So is John Huntsman a serious candidate reaching for a center-right majority, or is he just John Who trying to grab headlines as he heads for the Tim Pawlenty Also Ran Award? We will talk about that and more to get us going today, including new rumors about some certain local governors maybe entering the race, initial CC and GP. With us is Melinda Henneberger, contributing editor for Time. Hey, Melinda, welcome back to WNYC. Melinda, can you hear me? I don't know if Melinda can hear me. I know I can't hear Melinda Henneberger, Time Magazine contributing editor, former editor of Politics Daily, former all kinds of stuff covering national politics, and currently a contributing editor to Time Magazine. Well, listeners, New Yorkers, would you take a George Pataki candidacy seriously? Any New York Republicans listening right now who would rather have George Pataki than any of the currently declared Republican presidential hopefuls? Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. New York Republicans only for a few minutes. George Pataki, yes or no to the top of your wish list for president? Melinda, can you hear me?
I can. Hello.
Hey, hello there. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
You know where I want to start? What did Rick Perry say about Social Security in particular?
Well, Rick Perry doesn't seem to be for any of the entitlement programs. I mean, he has said of all of them that he thinks we need to scrap it and go back to square one.
So here's a quote. In his book, Fed Up, published last year.
Which I read, right.
Rick Perry called Social Security, quote, a crumbling monument to the failure of the New Deal, put in place at the expense of respect for the Constitution and limited government, and he compared the program to a bad disease, quote, bad disease, quote, at the expense of respect for the Constitution. So he really quite explicitly called Social Security unconstitutional.
Yes, and he has said that, too, of all of our major programs.
I didn't hear John Huntsman yesterday specifically address that. He went to Ben Bernanke and almost
right.
treasonous. He went to global warming. Did you see it? I didn't hear him mention Social Security, which would seem in a way to be the most potentially extreme if he wants to make that case, or at least out of step with how the voters might see the Constitution or see their interest of all the remarks.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. But, I mean, there are so many. He's only been in the race for a week, and there have been so many greatest hits already on, you know, one of the most striking things I thought he said was, although he's not alone in saying that he doesn't believe that global warming is man-made, I mean, when he says that a new scientist every day comes forward to say he's changed his or her mind, that's just not true. That's demonstrably false.
Has Perry been questioned about and distanced himself from his Social Security stance?
You know, I don't know. If he has, I have not heard that. I'm sure he's been questioned about it, but I certainly don't think he's distanced himself from those remarks at all.
And this John Huntsman thing, why is John Huntsman doing what he's doing? Is there a place for somebody who's trying to run as a, quote, center-right candidate in this Republican primary electorate?
If you look at the polls of Republican voters, Huntsman has got a 2.2% following right now. So he is not registering with Republicans. However, he's making the case, and he might as well, that, I think you could really argue, as Obama's team did from the beginning, that Huntsman may be the most potent opponent in 12 to go up in the general election. But, you know, it is true, as he says, that everyone else in the race is well to his right. So he's really making the case, I'm electable. You know, do you want, a lot of people are starting to talk about this race as, is this Carter versus Goldwater? I mean, somebody has to win it. When you have a president who, an incumbent with 26% approval of his handling of the economy, there's a lot of room for somebody to get into the race, which is why it's like everybody's jumping in. Maybe Pataki will be next, as you mentioned.
Here's a potential Pataki supporter. Let's see if he's being real or sarcastic. John in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hi. I always said absolutely no to Pataki. He's a do-nothing dweeb as a governor, but that might be exactly what we need on the federal level. Just everybody's doing too much. If you would just leave it alone and be a calm presence, we might do a lot better.
Thank you very much. There's the case for Pataki, Melinda.
Well, do nothing dweeb. I'm sure that will be his bumper sticker.
The government trying to do you know, I actually remember and recovered way back when, the 1994 gubernatorial race when Pataki unseated Mario Cuomo.
Right.
And it was almost that exact argument. You know, here was a guy who was not extremely articulate, and people actually found it kind of refreshingly real after Mario Cuomo, who was so eloquent, but people were getting frustrated with his policies. And, you know, the backlash against Cuomo on the right was against the governor who was trying to do too much with government. And so they wanted, you know, somebody who seemed more like a regular guy who they could more identify with, not a fabulous orator, and somebody who wouldn't try to use government as aggressively. And
right.
John just articulated it.
I don't know if the dweeb part would be much of a departure from, you know, that people feel that way about Obama as well. And even though he was elected for being so articulate, many of his supporters have been disappointed in him, of course, on that front.
Yes, I wouldn't put dweeb on the bumper sticker if I were George Pataki. But here's a little recent, George.
The president basically said three things. Both parties have to come together to solve this. Of course they do. There are solutions out there. And by the way, if you guys figure it out, I'll sign it. He may as well have just said, do you know it's Friday? He said something that we all know, and he is again leading from behind.
Leading from behind, said George Pataki. So that's That's not the statement of somebody who's running as a dweeb, a do-nothing dweeb. He wanted Obama to do more and show more leadership. Anybody else think George Pataki should get in the race, or anything else you want to say to Melinda Henneberger, contributing editor from Time, about the Republican presidential race as it's shaping up right now? Rick Perry, John Huntsman, any of them, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Now, this John Huntsman thing started with a tweet last week that I gather became the most retweeted tweet yet by a 2012 hopeful. And it was this short. Well, I guess all tweets are short. He wrote, "To be clear, I believe in evolution and trust scientists on global warming. Call me crazy."
Yeah, call me crazy.
That's the world we live in. By saying that, it becomes controversial and the most retweeted thing in the race.
Well, because he really is differentiating himself. I mean, it wasn't anything new that he believes in global warming. He told me that when I interviewed him when he first was, you know, mulling getting into the race after he got back from China. But I think one of the interesting things is, you know, he's taken on a little more of an edge, but in a fun way. You know, he hasn't gone into name-calling, which he said from the beginning he would not do, and he's been true to that. But he's starting to have fun with it, and when you're at 2.2% in the polls, you can do that, of course. He also tweeted, you know, that I'm going on Piers Morgan tonight. I hope I'm going to try and have at least as much fun as Christine O'Donnell had. Christine O'Donnell, who stalked off because she didn't like the questioning.
The former Republican candidate for U.S. Senate.
Right.
In Maryland? Delaware?
Delaware.
Delaware. Yes, and Huntsman also tweeted along the lines of having fun after his first tweet went so viral. He then tweeted, "I wonder if a tweet where I admit how much I like Captain Beefheart will make the followers skyrocket even more." Now, what? Listeners, you don't know Captain Beefheart? Can't you see the inaugural ball now, Melinda?
Well, you know, he dropped out of high school, famously, to join a rock and roll band and called Wizard, and their tagline was rock and roll magic. So he really, you know, is a big, you know, he's into rock. He still plays music. That's his thing. He considers himself a little bit of a rebel. So, yeah, we'll hear a lot of that if he gets anywhere in this race.
You know, on our politics website, It's a Free Country, our conservative blogger Carol Markowitz wrote that basically Huntsman was aiming all of this at his only real constituency.
The press?
Uh-huh. You, me. You think?
Yeah, that's helping him a lot, isn't it? I don't think so. I think he's making the case that he has. I mean, maybe, but what does that get him, you know? It's not like a lot of Republican voters look to the press for clues. I think that he's making the case that if my party wants to have a real shot at winning in the fall, you can't go with Michelle Bachmann. You can't go with Rick Perry. That's the case he has to make, and he's doing that.
Bob in Mountainside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Anytime.
I agree with Rick Perry's assessment of Ben Bernanke. I'll use a term that President Obama uses all the time. Most economists, all economists agree that easy money got us into this situation. And Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke continued it. And according to Ludwig von Mises of the Austrian School of Economics, they are just easy money, sends the wrong signals to the market as far as interest rates, and it causes a boom, and we're in the bust right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't understand how you could keep printing money and get us out of it, because it's the same thing that got us into it. It's going to cause a bigger bust.
Do you think he's a traitor?
Yeah, I don't know if I call him a traitor. I just think he's just horribly misinformed.
Mm-hmm. Bob, thank you. And that that's a legitimate view that a lot of people hold, Melinda, about this quantitative easing. And by the way, did you know that the stock market is up today about 125 points so far in the Dow, precisely because, according to what's coming on the wires now, there's word of a new Ben Bernanke speech coming later this week in which he might announce a new round of quantitative easing to try to stimulate the economy by printing money.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it is a valid point that if you have a public that's already over-leveraged, maybe you don't want to encourage more borrowing, that, you know, that is not helpful. The really controversial thing there was calling it treasonous.
Right. I mean, so, and to get back to that, you know, now that I heard the clip, and I hadn't heard it until we actually played the Rick Perry clip just a few minutes ago, I heard Huntsman talking about it yesterday, referring it to it as calling him guilty of treason. I saw that reference elsewhere. He said, it's almost treasonous. I don't know, maybe we need to honestly let Rick Perry off the hook a little bit. You know, he wasn't actually saying he's a traitor, he should be hung from the stockades. He said, it's almost treason, meaning, am I giving him too much of the benefit of the doubt? Meaning, it's so against the interest of the United States, it's such bad judgment that it's against the interest of the United States. Not that he's out to hurt the country.
But it's in keeping with this. Maybe if that were the only thing he'd said along these lines. He also has suggested that Obama doesn't love his country. When someone asked him point blank, you really don't think that, he said you'll have to ask him.
He did,
I mean, when you walk up to the line on all these things, I personally don't like to hear anyone from any side questioning other people's motives for their policies, and I don't think it's particularly helpful to stir up this who loves their country, who doesn't. I no.
Yeah, or maybe the more offensive part was, we'll see how he's treated when he comes to Texas. I don't know. Before you go, I just want to get to the economy and the president for just a second. There's talk of President Obama giving a speech around Labor Day on the economy that's already being much anticipated. Here's the president the other day on CBS.
I don't think we're in danger of another recession, but we are in danger of not having a recovery that's fast enough to deal with what is a genuine unemployment crisis for a whole lot of folks out there. And that's why we need to be doing more.
Doing more. So what's this do more he's referring to? Because I think one of the reasons that Bernanke feels compelled to act is because the fiscal sector, the political sector, is incapable of any more stimulus, whether it's smart or not to have more stimulus that the president might want. It's politically not viable. So what's he talking about?
Well, we're going to find out, but I hope that it's something that's more than what he has been saying over and over and over. I mean, he seems like he, in all of his recent many speeches, he just seemed like one more frustrated American who can't get anybody from Congress on the line. I mean, he's been giving these very listless statements about everybody call Congress, you know, let them know they have to do something, as if he weren't even a player in it. So whatever it is, it had better be big, because, you know, he really, I think, needed that vacation. Whether he should have gone to the vineyard or not is another question. But he better come back with some energy and some really new thinking on this.
But if it's big and it's stimulus, then it's just for the sake of his reelection campaign because he'll never get it through Congress.
Well, I mean, there is that. He does have to work with this Congress. That's a reality. But I think that people want to see something more from him than just sort of mewling that, you know, boo-hoo. So there had better be some new ideas in there of something that maybe could go. For example, you know, people have talked about the some investment in infrastructure. You know, that was a Republican idea at one point. Are they really going to say now that that's off the table when it was their plan to begin with?
Melinda Henneberger, contributing editor for Politics at Time Magazine. Melinda, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer in WNYC. And thanks again to Jamie Floyd for filling in most of the last 2 weeks. and Andrea Bernstein, who did a day while I was in the Adirondacks and spending time with family. So it's good to get away, but also good to come back. And when I'm on vacation, there are usually two rituals that take place. Some of you know this. One while I'm gone, the other when I come back. When I'm away, some totally memorable news story takes place, the kind of thing you don't ever forget. So in the past, that included the blackout of 2003, Jim McGreevy announcing he was a gay American in 2004, the capture of Saddam Hussein, and I'll spare you the whole list. So I think we have another one for the trophy shelf this year, the downgrading of the United States to a AA nation. So this is my first opportunity to say congratulations to the banks and politicians responsible for that. Of course, what does it mean when we're downgraded to a AA nation by a third-rate rating agency? But I guess you and Jamie Floyd had that conversation while I was out. And of course, I almost missed the downfall of Muammar Gaddafi, but it looks like I did get back just in time for that. We'll get back to that later in the program. We decided to take a break from it after wall-to-wall coverage on The Takeaway and the BBC through the morning. But yes, the first ritual is that unforgettable story. While I'm away, I'm nominating the downgrading of the AA of America to the AA nation. The second is the call-in when I get back called Tell Brian What He Missed While on Vacation. And I really did try to take a news holiday these couple of weeks. I paid attention to some of the really big stuff like the credit rating and stock market swings and Libya, and a little national politics because I can't help myself. But there's probably a lot right now that you know that happened that I don't. So let's do it. We are opening the phones right now for your answers to the question, what did I miss in the last 2 weeks other than the downgrading of America to a AA nation? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Now, this can be from any corner of the world. What happened in the Philippines the last 2 weeks? It can be from your neighborhood. What happened in Fort Greene or East Orange the last 2 weeks? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. It can be from the story that you obsess over. What happened to prove or disprove your point on global warming the last 2 weeks? Is that your obsession? 212-433-9692. I wonder about the rain we're getting this summer, by the way. Didn't this happen the last two summers, too? New York didn't used to have monsoon season. Maybe we're inching toward a more tropical style summer season. I have no evidence of that. That's not based on science, Mr. Huntsman. Just a question I want to look up or ask someone about. But how did the story that you obsess over change in the last 2 weeks? 212-433-9692. It can be a cultural event, too. Did you see the best concert of your life in the last 2 weeks or the best play? 212-433-9692. The arts camp my son went to put on Sweeney Todd. 13 and 14-year-olds doing Sweeney Todd. Can you imagine? But I didn't miss that. Whatever you think was important or interesting from the last 2 weeks that I did miss, other than the downgrading of the United States of America to a AA nation, call up and report. You're entitled to an opinion, too. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and we'll take those calls right after this.